verse 6. You've heard many, many times, but I'm last Wednesday night, I read this verse of Scripture, and we got on the wonderful, and I'm glad he's wonderful. And all things you can say about him, he's wonderful, amen. And it was a holy night when he was born that night. Let's stand, please, while we read the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6, for unto us. And Brother Jerry Heilman pointed out to me last week, he just made a statement as he went out, said the thing that always stood out in him, that verse, is unto us, not just for Israel, not just for somebody else, but unto us. A child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and Lord, for his name. And we mentioned Sunday, Jesus, that saving name. I praise your name for Jesus. And in this verse of Scripture, you said unto us, a child is born, a son is given. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for us you did that. And I pray in Jesus' name, God, that we never get over the fact that God became man. And we thank you, Lord, for the reality of this verse of Scripture and the thrust of it. And I pray in Jesus' name, help us say a few things tonight. Be a blessing to help, encouragement and a strength. And we'll praise you and thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. His name should be called Wonderful. And I'm not going to try to redo that. Just say he's wonderful. But then it says Counselor. And by the way, there's a comma in there between Wonderful and Counselor. He is a wonderful Counselor. There's no question about that. He is Wonderful Counselor. But that comma, he's wonderful. In every way, he's wonderful. But then it says Counselor. And I just want to say just a word or two about that tonight. And maybe the mighty God, see how God leads in this. But look in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 3. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 3. If you would please, I want to just give you that verse of Scripture. Very brief verse, but I wanted you to see it in your Bibles, and you may want to mark it. In whom, give you a moment to find that, Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 3. Talking about the Lord Jesus now. In verse 2, he's talking about the mystery of God, of the Father, and of Christ. In whom are hid all, A-L-L. That means exactly what it says, all. The treasures of wisdom and knowledge. There's not a thing that God does not know. And in him's hid all the wisdom and knowledge. Look in Romans chapter number 11. Romans chapter number 11 and verse number 33. Romans 11, verse number 33. And we'll read a few verses here. And I want you to get this. Romans chapter 11, verse number 33. Oh, the depth of the riches both of his wisdom and knowledge of God. Explanation mark. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. I just want to pause there and say amen and amen. And him, and for of him, through him, and to him, all things. And talking about the riches of his knowledge, the depth of it. And he knows everything. And God is God. And I was talking to Brother Willie and Sister Ruth back there before service. We got to talking about those who say there is no God. What a crazy statement to make. When you look around, you see the handiwork of God everywhere. And just thinking about life itself, you have to say, there's God. And those that say there is no God, it's odd to me that when it comes down time to die or they're in a bad situation, first thing they do is call on God. And, you know, they know somewhere deep down. I don't believe he is a true atheist, really, real down deep inside in this. God put something in every man, every person on the earth that he's ever created. He put something down there that lets him know there's a power beyond. Every civilization that's ever been found has known there's something beyond man, some controlling power, something bigger than they. I'm glad we know it is God. And we not only know it is God, but we know God gave Jesus to us. And we're talking about counselor now. We all need some counsel every once in a while. All need some help from time to time. And we need somebody to come alongside and help us and talk to us and talk that we can talk to and can talk to us. But there's not a greater counselor than all the world than the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He is a great counselor. Amen. Man wants to know where he came from. Well, God answers that question. And Jesus talks about why we're here. He talked about in John chapter 4, a woman at the well. He talked about worship. And that's why we're created, by the way, to worship God. God did not put us here to be happy. Now, there is some joy and happiness in knowing God, in serving God. But that's not the purpose he put us here for. He put us here to worship him. And to give him glory and honor and praise. And when you find out why you're here and you begin doing what he put you here for, there's some joy in that. And there's happiness in that. I praise God for it, but tonight you think about it. God put us here to worship him. So Jesus began to talk to her about worship and said it must be in spirit and in truth. And talking about whether it be in Jerusalem, whether it be in Samaria, where it's going to be. And Jesus said, it's in spirit and in truth where we worship. And so tonight, we worship in spirit and in truth. And that's good counsel for us, amen. And you get that down, be good. Then Jesus talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and said, you must be born again. He gave the best counsel ever been given to anybody. He said, you must be born again. You'll never know what it's about until you find out that Jesus loves you and that you need to get born spiritually, born in the family of God. You're dead spiritually until you get saved. Once you get saved, you're made alive spiritually and born in that sense. I'm glad I've been born. I had to get born physically so someday I could get born spiritually. I'm glad God gave me life one day years ago and on a hillside in a little farmhouse outside of Marion, Virginia. God let me come into this world. I'm glad for that Sunday morning when Jesus Christ birthed me in the family of God. And I'm glad I heard that counsel that Jesus gave Nicodemus. Ye must be born again. And I'm glad today, praise God, that I've been born again. I heard that counsel. He gave the counsel about that. And then he gave counsel about how you ought to do what you ought to do after you get saved. He said, take up your cross and follow me. Did you ever notice he never did say lay down in a bed of roses and go to sleep? Isn't that odd? He never did say it's going to be a bed of roses and everything's going to be fine. Everybody's going to love you. Everything's going to turn out just right and while you're living on this earth. He didn't say that at all. He said, take up your cross and daily and follow me. And that means we got a job to do. And Brother Gary's talking about a privilege you're giving to the Lord so others can hear and what a joy that is. And that is, that's something to shout about. That's something to rejoice about and praise God about. And Jesus told us to take up a cross and follow him. As we follow him and do what he says, it certainly is good. Amen. It'll be a blessing to you, be a help to you if you'll do that. And I'm just trying to encourage you tonight. I'm talking about a counselor now, somebody that can tell us about life and can give us some insight to it. He said you must be born again. And then after you are born again, he said you ought to take up your cross daily and follow me. And he's giving us good counsel, is he not? He's talking about how we ought to do and how we ought to live. And Jesus did that. And he said, one place, he said, your love for me ought to be so great that you love for your mother and dad seem like hate. Your love for your children. Brother Gary, again, talking about his wife, being willing to come and serve the Lord. Hey, listen, our love for Jesus ought to be so great, and our love for others seems like hate comparable in that. Not that you ought to hate them, but that ought to be in comparison to it. It ought to be that much love. How much do you love Jesus anyway? How is your love for Jesus? Oh, how I love Jesus. We sing the song. Kids sing the song. Oh, how I love Jesus. But then sometimes when it comes down to put it in practice, it's not so much as we think it might be. And so we need to really love Jesus. And Jesus told us about that. He's given us good counsel about our lives and said our lives ought to be entrusting him fully, completely, totally, and said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto you. Now, in life, we worry about a lot of things. But I'm glad, praise God, if we'll trust him, put God first and his work first and do what he says first, then everything else will fall in place. Amen. And let me plug this in right here. God does not work outside of working through his church. Amen. Don't give me any of this stuff that God's doing this and that and the other outside the church. And I know there's some things going on and not directly in the church, but it's church supported or church put approval on or somehow it's connected somewhere with the church. Jesus left the church here to do his work. Amen. You get that and you'll be getting some good counsel right there. Because the church is where God, Jesus died for the church and gave himself for the church. And I know that's not the building. It's not just Gateway Baptist Church. I understand that. But I'm telling you, Jesus loved the church. Gateway Baptist Church is just a manifestation of a part of the church. But I'm glad it is a part of the church. And we are church. And God put us here. And I'm glad to be a part of the church. Amen. And we can serve God here and thank God for it. And I say hallelujah. And I'm glad for that. And just something stirs within me when I think about the church. And Jesus gave the counsel about that. And he said, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I believe it's his church. Amen. It's not mine. It doesn't belong to the deacon. It doesn't belong to y'all. It belongs to God. It's God's church. And I'm glad. Praise God. It is. And I praise the Lord for the truth and reality and how Jesus counseled about life. Must be born again. Take up your cross and follow me. And then the church, serve God. Live for God through the church. Be a part. Amen. I say that's good preaching, preacher. Just go ahead anyhow. And thank God and praise God for it. And so there's a lot of things you go into about the counseling. But I'm just hitting highlights in this verse. And wonderful. And it's Christmas time, and we're thinking about Jesus being born, coming into the world. He's wonderful. That's all you can say about him. He's wonderful. But then he is a counselor, and he's the best counselor you'll ever have. And talk to him. Tell him about your problem. Tell him what you need. Tell him where you are. Tell him what's happening. And tell him, and let him tell you some things. And by the way, you can't separate him and his word. Amen. He'll counsel you through his word. Thy word have hidden my heart, might not sin against God. His word's precious. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and all the ways. Acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. And you can't trust yourself, but you can trust him. Amen. Well, let me give you this one real quick tonight. And I'll not keep you too long. And you, I hope, get something out of this anyhow. And go home thinking he's a counselor. He's my counselor. He is my counselor. And keep that in your mind because you need him. You need him in that capacity. We sometimes say, well, he saved us and going to keep us out of hell and take us to heaven. That's good. I praise God for all that. There's a whole lot in between the time, though. And that's where we are right now. We're between the time God saved us and we get to heaven. And we may get to heaven tonight. We may get to heaven tomorrow. It may be a year, 2 years. I don't know when we're going to get there, but we'll get there if we're saved. If you're not saved tonight, you need to get saved so you too can go to heaven. And good counsel for you is get born again. And good counsel for us that are saved is to occupy till I come. That's what Jesus said, occupy till I come. And that word occupy means stay busy about my business until I get there. He did not mean for us to go somewhere on a hillside and pitch a tent and camp out and just wait for him to come and sit there in solitary waiting for him to come. That's not what he meant. He said, occupy, stay busy about my business. We ought to plan like and work like. Hey, Jesus is not coming for a long time. At the same time, we ought to be looking for him to come anytime. And that'll make you want to live right and cause you to do what you ought to do and keep on working for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so let's do that. But notice something as he said in this verse. He says he's wonderful. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. The Mighty God. He is the Mighty God. Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Savior, a great God and our Savior. He is a mighty God. Amen. Hey, did you know he was born one night in Bethlehem of Judea? And he was born so poor at what we call today a barn where they kept the animals and put it in a manger. That's where they feed the animals and built in a V shape and put the hay or the feed in there. And that's where they ate. They laid him, I believe, probably on some straw or hay or something and laid him in there. And that baby born like that, poor as poor could be, and born in a stable out there with the animals around. But angels came and sang about his birth. How you like that? And proclaimed, he's one born, he's a Savior born in Bethlehem of Judea. Hey, told them where to go look for him. They was wise men over there somewhere watching for a star. And they followed that star and said, where is he? Born King of the Jews. He may have been born poor, but he's mighty God. Mighty God. Wise men took note of it. Shepherds on a hill heard angels sing and shouting, telling about him. What a glorious time. I get to think about those shepherds and I get excited thinking about them. Then on a hillside watching sheep, all of a sudden angelic man come by. We try to portray it in Christmas programs and try to think about it in our mind's eye, but you have never thought about how glorious that was. And they stood there amazed, I'm sure, and stunned. But they heard good news, and I say praise God. It was good, amen. As a boy, he's just a little young lad, 12 years of age about. He went to the temple. And his parents thought he was with the kinfolk. They didn't even miss him for a few days. Went back hunting for him. Went a day's journey. Then they missed him. Took him 3 days to find him. But there he was in the temple. And he was asking questions. And answering questions. And they were all amazed at him. He's mighty God. He's mighty God. Amen. I said the other day, and a statement that drove it home to me. He's so much God as though he was not man. And as so much man as though he was not God. Now, that drove something home to me in my heart about that. But here he is, a boy, just a boy. And they probably looked at him like he did other boys. But yet he's mighty God sitting in the temple asking questions and showing who he was. He was identified himself not as a sinner. But and the fact that what he was going to do one day for sinners. And he went to John the Baptist. And there he submitted himself to his baptism. And John baptized him, that old country preacher. Come out of there with a leathern girdle, wiping honey out and locusts out of his mouth. Preaching repent and call him a bunch of snakes. And told him about their sin, told him repent and get right with God. And said, there's one coming mightier than I, whose shoes latched, I'm not worthy to unloose. And there he was. Jesus went to him and said, baptize me. And he baptized him. And that's an act of humility in being baptized. But yet so much a mighty God and a dove descending. And God spoke out of heaven and said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, hear ye him. And the Holy Ghost settled on him. I say hallelujah, amen. A mighty God. And he's so a humble man, lived a sinless life, went to the cross of Calvary. He opened blinded eyes, so much God. He done stopped deaf ears. He raised some that were dead. And then he died on Calvary's cross. But yet he's such a mighty God. On the third day he rose from the dead and walked out victorious and declared himself alive. I say hallelujah. Mighty God. Sent him back into heaven. Mighty God today saved me. Mighty God right now. He's a mighty God. He's not just some little Buddha. Fat somewhere sitting around asking somebody to carry him around, somebody bow. He's not Buddha. He's not Mohammed. He's a mighty God. And we're not serving some thing on a crucifix. We're serving a mighty God that inhabits eternity, creator of all things, one that's able to save unto the uttermost. He'll save you if you'll come to him. He's a mighty God. He'll hear your prayer when you're praying. If you're not guarding iniquity in your hearts, you're right with God. He'll hear you. He'll help you. Mighty God. Yet such a mighty God that he could with his one breath disintegrate all of us. But yet he's a mighty God that loves us and hugs us up to himself and says, I love you. I can't get over that. A mighty God that's so mighty. He said, let there be, and there was. So mighty a God that he could take a handful of dirt, however how much it was, and make a man and breathe in the nostrils a breath of life and become a living soul. Mighty God, a mighty God, conquered death, hell, mighty God, paid my sin debt, a mighty God that is able to help us. Opened the Red Sea, did all that. Jesus, he's a mighty God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you tonight for what a wonderful Savior. Thank you tonight, God, for what a wonderful Counselor. And thank you tonight for what a wonderful, mighty God. Father, I pray tonight that we not just come to the house of God here on Wednesday night, come in and go out. We've heard the singing. We prayed around the altar. Lord, I want us to leave out tonight thinking about he's a mighty God. That mighty God loves me, loves his people, and he wants to counsel us and tell us and teach us and help us. Thank you, Lord. I pray tonight if there's somebody that needs to come and pray about anything, that they'll just obey you and come. Lord, have your way. Magnify yourself. Just want to tell you we love you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's stand, please.